Okay, good evening. Good evening. How's everyone doing today?
Baruch Hashem,
good?
Always.
Fantastic. You're living life, enjoying. So, we should enjoy life. And tonight's going to be, I always like, one of these tougher nights. Why is it a tougher night? Because we're really on, I mean, it's not tough, it's really great. We should walk out tonight doing a jumping jacks that we can't, you don't have to do jumping jacks. We should walk out excited that we learned tonight. But, you know, hearing truth sometimes is less exciting, right? We like to imagine that everything's always good. Everything's always great, no matter what. Here, you know, my kids are like that. Everyone's like that. There's a part of us that wants that no matter what we do, we get reward. And no matter what we do, we get a thumbs up. Don't we all want that?
Yes.
No matter what. All's good. All's great. No matter what. So we don't like hearing that's not the case. And tonight, since we're talking about reason number three, or way number three, how to propel ourselves to take advantage of life, not waste it, not squander it, not lose it, and the power of our actions. And some ladies were here on Shabbos, some were not. I don't know. Your husband actually ranked the Dvar Torah on Shabbos top five ever. So he says to me, he said it to me a few times. I don't know how he's getting it. So maybe my husband, but I actually spoke about Shabbos, about the power of our deeds, how it could ricochet through generations, right? And, you know, whether it's paying for somebody's ticket or things like that, how that's had long-term effects. Well, what Reb Chaya is now going to say is really God judges us. And just like we are graded on tests, it's funny, I grade these 12th graders midterms. Your daughter's not in 12th grade yet. But you know, my wife's like, oh, you should be generous, you should be nice. You know, they're the 12th grade, like, you know, they tell me it's impossible. You know, they told me my test as a 3-hour midterm, they took it for 3 hours. Each one of them for 3 hours. And so, like, they studied. I told my wife, listen, at the end of the day, I'm going to grade them with a somewhat deserved. But it's not fair to them or to the school to sugarcoat. I'm going to tell you why. Because it's a bad lesson for life. And they did fine. It's a bad lesson for life. It means, you know, in this case, it may be more of a compelling reason that they tried. Some kids tried harder than others. But really, in life, you don't not study and get a B+ or an A-. Doesn't happen. I can assure you that in Penn Law School, if you didn't study, they're not going to curve your test. I can assure you that. I can assure you that if you're working in a company, that they're not going to say, oh, you know, you get a B+ for showing up that day, or an A-. That's not how life works. I can assure you that in marriage, showing up and not performing in marriage, or as a parent, bringing kids to this world and saying, good luck. Doesn't get you a B+ or an A-, or certainly not an A+. Real life demands doing, right? It demands. Now, as I mentioned last week, this is certainly very true. If I have a student, I still have my own child who I see making effort, I will be very accommodating, right? When you see a little kid trying to do better, that warms every parent, teacher's, person's heart, right? So, and the truth is, if you see an employer, someone trying their hardest, also, but lack of trying, excuses, coasting, cruise control, you're not going to get an A+ in Shemayim. You're not even going to get a B+. Because the really, we're judged on what we do. And that's what we're discussing today. So I know it'd be easy for me to skip it and go to doing chesed and davening and things that everyone likes to hear. But this is important. Because we're only the safer ones, and this should be ingrained in our minds, put into us, that we, all of us in this room, all of us in this room will be judged and are judged based on what we do. Yeah, Hashem will look at us where we come from, and who we are and our tests, but God really knows where we come from. God really knows our tests. And Hashem will say, is that legitimate or not? But it's important because I can say, as you know, part of my job, I can tell you my emails today. If you would ever see the variety of people I email, you would be flabbergasted. I mean, I think just the variety of religious observances or meet with or anything like that. I'm just saying this afternoon, I had a meeting in Campbell with friends of the Arab, but I didn't have meetings with, different types of Jews this afternoon. I'm going to tell you, I interacted with all types of people. So at about 6-something, I sent this article to a few people, including an intermarried lawyer. The wife has no... I actually have a few lawyers like this who I deal with, whose wife didn't even go through a conversion, but yet was the president of the temple, of a huge Reform temple. I have two lawyers exactly fit that profile. Who are presidents of temples, were married to Christians. I mean, go figure. I don't think we started. I'm on tape. So I emailed this guy's article. And this is the second time in a week. It's clear to me this guy thinks he's doing great Jewishly. I mean, so there's no doubt in my mind. He likes me, we interact, blah, blah, blah. But like when you email him, and I send him these articles. So actually, this one I sent him was a light one. It was like, 5 lessons from the World Series from the Sunday. You know, everyone knows the World Series, right? At the last minute, a person had a 3-point shot, and they won the World Series. A big game, one of the best World Series in history. Right, everyone was so excited. And there's 5 great lessons. So I sent him this guy's article. I was in Dallas even. I missed the World Series. I would have watched if I was in San Jose, but I didn't even know what happened. Lamaisa, this guy sends me I kid you not, this is a guy who doesn't keep kosher Shabbat, nothing, zero, zilch, zero. He's a president, past president of Reform Temple, major Reform Temple. And he's a nice guy. He's not a bad person, but he's clueless. I mean, the man thinks he's like Moses. I mean, I'm reading his email, I'm like, where is his head? Like, the guy does nothing. He's married to a gaita. You know, what is he, you know? And he's walking around thinking he's living a good Jewish life. Now, he arguably is largely a Tinnik Shinish, but no one ever taught him anything real, right, at all. But his whole life, he didn't keep Shabbos, kosher, nothing, zero zilch. So all of us in this room have to know that him, and I'm not judging him, God will judge, I don't judge anyone. I'm here to push, inspire, but I can tell you very frankly that as somebody who, there's certain types of rabbis that are, live and let live. I'm not a live and let live person. I don't frontal go to everyone. Some people I think deal better than our frontal. But anyone who's heard me speak on Shabbos, I don't say, let's clap our hands and we're great. I don't believe in that. I mean, it's not true. We're not. We need to get better. So I'm a person who for myself, and for anyone, I try to push. Again, everyone's different. And I can tell you, when you push, most people, at some level, either they think they're fine or they don't push. They're just like you can. You can do whatever you want, and there's just no consequence. Meaning, and we all want to get that A plus. We all want the A plus. We all think, or as we saw the past couple of weeks, is that we imagine it's okay if we get a B or C, and we don't realize what that really means. We don't really think what that really means. So I say this as a preface because it's gonna be a little bit strong. It's a little bit strong medicine, but strong medicine is good medicine because you won't see this in the news. You won't hear this in even the Jewish music. Plenty of good Jewish music out there, right? And some good Jewish music, inspirational. Anyone like Shwaki?
Yes.
Who else do we like over here?
Maybe your kids listen to
Mordechai Ben David, Simcha Leiner. Anyone know Simcha Leiner? Anything else? Am I missing anyone?
Diaspora Yeshiva Band.
diaspora community. This is your soul. That's the '80s.
The '70s.
Find diaspora.
Before you were born.
Well, who else? Anyone else out there that would be like, oh,
Avram Fried,
Yehuda. Anyone else? Could I? What?
Duty.
There's Dudu. Okay, Dudu. Right. There's the Shiva Boys Choir. Get some choirs. The Miami Boys Choir. Baruch Hashem, Miami Boys Choir.
The best.
You see, everything. Miami. Here we go. I have a question. Can you imagine the following song? You're gonna get judged. You're gone. And they're just singing all this choir. Do they sing songs like that?
No.
Do they sing songs, reward and punishment? They don't do that. You know, they sing, Shabbos. They don't sing songs like that. You know why? Well, for many reasons. You know, because there'd be people like jumping off roofs. But no, seriously, because that's not the message they're giving. But guess what? That message is just as important. You will not hear this anywhere else. You're not. You're not going to hear it in your day-to-day interactions. You're going to hear lots of la-la-la. And the la-la-la is also good. And it's also important. But this is consequent. I mean, in every aspect in life, there's a large, if not overarching, reality of performance. If you don't give people what they want, are the food spoiled? What happened to the food spoiled? And by the way, usually it's not even your fault, it's the supplier's fault. Are they going to come after you? Oh, they come after people happy? They say thank you for spoiled food? If they want an order, if you're out of challah, they want challah, what do they say? Thank you? Right, people have expectations. If chas v'shalom that they're out of chocolates, right? I came for chocolate. Right? I'm serious. In every area of life, you know, we don't hear this. You know why? Many reasons why. But it's important, and that's what I'm thinking now. And I say this because I know everyone comes here for inspiration, but we also come here to be better and to do better. And doing better means to know. And I don't want to stress, it's going to be a little bit about our deeds to judge. You, by coming here, are doing yourself the greatest service. Not because of me, because of the work. Because by coming here, you are already on a higher level than you would ever be without. You're already in better shape in Shemayim than without. Because you, whether we realize or not, learning a work like this makes us more conscientious, makes us more aware of the importance of our actions. A person lives better. Forget the world to come. We live better if we appreciate our actions. And I think today is like the Gentile world, or the secular world, into mindfulness. Like, you know, mm-hmm. Such a... you know, you make a bracha, you'll appreciate your apple. But they don't have brachas. You know, they have mindfulness. You have to appreciate the moment. Well, you know, we have to also appreciate our actions. We have to be mindful that our actions are really, really important. And like God wasn't joking when he said Shabbos or kosher or not stealing or being nice to people or being charitable. Right? It was a serious reality. So says the Ramchal. Oyed Amru, another illustration of Hashem's judgment, is V'svivav Nishra Ma'oid. Now he's going to show this, the author is going to show this, by showing even the greatest righteous people are judged according to their ability, according to their actions. So the Pasuk says in Tehillim, in Psalms, that the surroundings are extremely turbulent. That means the closer you are to Hashem, the more you have to perform. Right? If you're in a position... You know, if you're on the starting lineup, you better, you're not on the bench, more is expected to you. Why is that? Because you have a greater responsibility, right? If you are you know, is there a head nurse where you are?
No, I'm just a doctor.
But is there a head nurse in your department?
Well, not in yours, but yeah,
it's a head. Do they have more responsibility?
Yes, of course.
And do they get more in trouble if things go wrong?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they're responsible, and they also get more reward, right? They probably get a little bit higher salary, more honor, right? They run the shot. That's how most places work, right? If you are closer to the leadership, you are more in a position, there is more responsibility for things. So, Milam Shekhaj Baruch Hu Mendaktikim Chasidu Kechot Asara. We see that Hashem is exacting with pious people on a much higher level. right? There's a much greater expectation. For example, so you have a few examples. Avraham ha'ohav l'kayno. We can't even imagine how great Avraham was. We can't even imagine how great Avraham was. And we can't even imagine how great his world to come is. I mean, we're all in this room learning tonight because of Avraham. Everyone comes because of Avraham. Right? He's ohav. The Torah says, Atra Kasav Amar Alav, he was beloved. The Torah says about him, it's a pasuk in Yeshaya. God refers to Avram as Avram Oyavi, Avram my beloved. Imagine God says that Avram is my beloved. V'loid Pala min adin. Even Avram had din. Even Avram had judgment. Because of certain things, even small minor matters that he was not careful about. Al Sha'amar Bama Eda, when he questioned God, God said, you're going to inherit the land of Israel. So Avram said, well, how do I know? You ask, how do I know that the land's mine? Chayecha yodoa teida ki geri azaracha. You better know that your descendants are going to end up being in exile. They're going to end up being in a foreign land. Okay, we're not right now discussing why that was the punishment. But suffice to say that when Avram questioned God, his descendants were punished as a result of that. Al Shakaris Bris im Avimelech, Blot Siva Shalmakam, where he made this covenant for multiple generations with Avimelech. Who is Avimelech the king of? Who is the Melech of? Who? Avimelech. The Plishtim.
In the Middle East area.
Good. That's good. Good.
Crescent.
No, not the Fertile Crescent. Closer to the Nile. The Plishtim. We're in Azov. So he made a pact with him. Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, Chayecha Shani, Masha Besimchas Banecha, Shivadoris. It delayed the Jewish people coming into the land of Israel for seven generations. Right, minor differences. But by the way, when you think about it, if you're Lahavdil Elif Alfais to compare Avraham Avinu to a high tech executive, but if you're Mark Zuckerberg, and you make a poor choice for your company, does that just affect you, or does it affect tens of thousands of employees? Well, it affects everyone, right? If you make an error like that, it's not just you anymore, right? Everything is dependent on you. So when there's a small error over there, right, it trickles down to a lot. So Amram is this great person. His questioning God, it was not only an error, it was a blemish in his relationship with Hashem, right? So it has consequences. They have consequences. Yaakov, in Hashachara Apple Barachel, right? Yaakov gets angry at Rachel. Amarlo, she says to him, Havali Banim, right? Give me children. What does Yaakov say back to her? Right? This is my Hashem? So he says, what do you want from me? I have kids. He says, don't compare me to my father Yitzchak. Right? She says to him, why don't you pray like Yitzchak? He says, Yitzchak didn't have kids. So him and Rivka pray, but he says, I have kids. Right? What are you crying? Havali Banu, you can't look at me. Who would he have kids? He had kids from Leah. Hey, kids, right? Bila, Zilpah, eventually, right? Hey, what do you want from me? He says. Amr B'medr, Zelashon, Amr Kashbar, Hukach, Oinim, Esamokos. You answer a crush lady, your wife? What do you want from me? Right? She came screaming at him. He says, you should go to God. He was right at some level. Right? And there's empathy. He says, Chayecha, so that the Medrash says, you should know by your life, Shebanecha omlufnei bana, your children will be subservient to her children. They will bow to Yosef, right? Which was, at some level, they were at the same level as that. Well, Ulfei Shenasa Nisdina Beteva, and because Yaakov puts Dina in a box. Why does he put in this box? Kadesh lo yichu Esav, that she should not be married to Esav. Afal pisha kavanasu hasavali tova, even though his intention is for sure good. Ach lefi shemana chesem acha, but because he was all too happy to withhold, the way the ultimate Slobodka learns this, is that he didn't even care about his brother. He was only thinking about Dino, right? And so he didn't even think about that. Amar b'medrash, amar kodesh baruch olama smereo chesed, you withhold kindness for your friend. Lo bikash to l'hashlamol. You didn't want her to marry somebody who is circumcised, harinisas la'aral, right, shall be married to somebody uncircumcised. Lo bikshta b'hasiya derech heter, harinisas derech eser. You didn't want her to let her marry to a permitted marriage. She'll marry eser. So he's punished. Everyone knows the story. Am I missing? Everyone is aware of knows the story, right? So Yaakov is punished for not caring about his brother Esav. Right? Most people, right, when you think of Esav, you think of a terrible person. You want to stay as far away, and certainly your daughter as far away as possible. Not, and you're right, but you still have to feel for an Esav. But because he lacked that feeling.
Yeah, but not for the price of giving daughter to somebody like that.
Let me just say something. I'm often asked, this is a side point, not to talk about judgment, I'm often asked by people that they either have really bad people they work with, associate with, and it's a question of inviting for meals or inviting to do certain, or doing things with them. And often, it just, you know, if somebody is a dangerous person, spiritually dangerous, or a really negative or crafty person, so sometimes you have to take proper precautions. You can't bring them into your house or bring them into your parties, be that as may. But you should feel terrible about that, especially if they're your relative. They should feel terrible about that, especially if it's a relative. Listen, you should feel terrible about that.
Okay, I agree.
And so Yaakov lacked that feeling terrible about that. He was like, get me away from Esav, right? Get her away from Esav. You still should feel terrible because Chazal said she may have even helped him. Possibly, had she married him. Now, I'm not saying that he was wrong but Chazal criticized the way he dealt with it, right? If you have a relative, even if it's a bum on the street, if you can't help them for whatever reason, 99% out of 100, you should help them. But if there's a good reason, sometimes it's a good reason. Listen, there are certain people you don't want on your kids, you don't want on your spouse, you know. When I was in Dallas, a rabbi told me that one of his congregants, like majorly, is hitting on him, giving him gifts, saying that he's like really inappropriate. So, and apparently, this lady he told me has done this to many people. She's a school missing, right? Doesn't mean that she can't wreck plenty of lives in the process. But there's a school missing there, right? But the lady's legitimately needy. That's what he told me. So that his wife said, no more contact. Okay? No more contact. So you have a legitimately needy lady who is doing things which are inappropriate. Well, what are you going to do, right? You can't, especially if his wife wants nothing to do with it, you know, wants it now, because sometimes you can't help people. I mean, you're not obligated to endanger your own life, hurt your own family to help a person, but you should feel bad about that. There are things in life. You don't just say, oh, too bad. You know, oh, too bad. I don't. This is not meant to get into the politics of immigration in this country or not. I would argue, and I'm not making a statement either way, that let's imagine you had a population where 20% were terrorists and 80% are innocent victims. Let's just make that up. Let's imagine you won't let them in, because it's a pretty legitimate thing. Those are not the numbers. If 20% are terrorists, I wouldn't want to let, even if they're 2% terrorists, quite frankly, into my country and endanger my own family, right? I wouldn't do that. I mean, we don't drink liquids, or the FDA pulsing up for 0.0001% carcinogens. You know what a carcinogen does? It's over 30 years. I mean, we're going to make a possible terrorist, right? But let's say that you can't let this group in for that. I'm just using it as a parallel, right? I would feel bad for all the innocent. One should be. And if you don't feel bad, you're lacking a heart, right? For a lot of innocent people, right? You should feel terrible for the innocent people, right? But it doesn't, again, I'm not how, what, but there's some things you cannot do because it's dangerous to you, but you still feel bad for these things. So Yaakov was criticized. Yeah, he's Esav, but he's still your brother, right? Where's your compassion toward your brother? You're going to marry your daughter off? Maybe not, but you are. You know, the Rabbi Alter Sabaka says when he's closing that he was hiding, he was like, woo, get her away from this guy. No, it was all thoughts about his daughter, no thoughts about his brother. You understand what that means, Mrs. Sadowski?
Kind of, but I understand that he should feel bad, but I wouldn't protect my daughter.
Of course you should. That wasn't the point. I'm just saying that the altar of Slobodka understands that you should still feel for this person.
No, this is...
Okay, so that's why he was criticized. And more criticized, he was punished, which means to, you know... I once said, people coming to me for money who legitimately need the money, but I knew they were going to use it for drugs, essentially, or for other things. And, like, you feel bad, you can't, but you're not going to give them. Anyone who gives money they're wasting charity money, and you're hurting the person. I mean, they're hurting themselves. You feel bad. What are you going to do? You know, what are you going to do? You're going to hurt, so, you know, there are many times in life you have to say no or keep things away. I looking back at my youth, some of the worst kids, I'm not talking about there are kids with good natures and poor natures, right? There are kids who have Yetzaharas because they have Yetzaharas. Many kids, you know, but there are kids, they're not just, you know, troublemakers, but they're bad. And I mean, we all know this, they're really bad. And some of these really bad kids come from really bad home situations or have really bad, you know, self-esteem or learning issues. I'm not talking about, again, they're, you know, some kids are more active and less active. I'm not really bad. So, you know, some of them, you want to help them. You're not going to put your kid with a kid who's looking at things they shouldn't be doing and cursing, whatever it may be, you know, because, you know, it's not fair. So, you know, you should feel bad about that. I don't think, you know, if the kids, most kids who end up, you know, in the general world in drugs or gangs come from really, really bad situations. But I wouldn't want my kid hanging with a drug dealer. I don't think anyone would, right? But you should feel bad that you're not going to help this person. And that's why Yaakov was punished, because he didn't have that feeling of badness. Yosef tells the Sar Hamashkim, Kim zechartani itach. He tells he does a desperate act. He says, you should remember me, right? To the chief of the cupbearers, which is essentially one of the security ministers of Egypt. He stands up at 2 more years in jail. Yosef Atzmo, and Yosef himself, Yosef embalmed Yaakov, which is a big discussion what he was doing. Oh, Shalom, Shama Avdecha Avinu Vashasak, or he heard his brothers say that we are your servant, and he didn't say, no, you're not my servant, you're my brothers. And he was lacking at something like that. Lamar Kisimari say, Mesa Finachav, he was the first of all the brothers to die. Why did Yosef die first? For one of these two reasons. But there was a reason he died first. Right? There was a reason he died first. David, Lefishakara Divrei Torah Zmiris, David called Torah Zmiris, actually. It's funny. I was interviewed today by the Wologilim paper. I know many of the journalists in this area. So I emailed this girl, Julia Baum. Julia Baum, right? Her father's Jewish. She's not Jewish. But if her father would have come to this class before he was married, maybe she would be Jewish. So she calls me up. I was talking about the Chassid Sefer Torah, because I emailed her like 6 weeks ago. So out of the blue today, she calls me up about this. I don't even know, you know. So I was telling her, I said, you know, we have a Sefer Torah. She's trying to explain to what it is. And I said, you know, we don't want to put a Sefer Torah in the mail and like just mail it over. You know, I said, we can't. I told her why we're so happy. Like, what's so fast? I said, in fact, the Sefer Torah is getting, there's going to be a rabbi who's going to take it on the plane with him. On the Sefer Torah, comes on the plane, because you wouldn't just throw a Sefer Torah on cargo, right? You know? A Torah, you know how reverent we have Torah is? God forbid if a Torah falls to the ground, you fast. When you have a Sefer, you know, you give it a kiss. You know, you show, we love Sefer Torah. You know, and this I hold very strongly, when you come to Shul, to Daven, you dress accordingly, because you have reverence for the place, right? Things which are important, you have reverence for, right? You take seriously, things which are unimportant. When I see somebody come here with flip-flops, I'm talking a man, you know, it means they would never go to a serious meeting with flip-flops. Very rarely does someone come here with flip-flops, but if, you know, who would go to a serious meeting if you had a business meeting? You want to get a mortgage, you got a bank loan, you're invited to meet with the governor or the president, you're not wearing flip-flops. Can you imagine anyone going to the governor of California in flip-flops? Maybe, actually. but you met the president of the United States, right?
Imagine the governor wearing flip-flops.
Yeah, Mr. Mumba. But no, on a serious note, at a real function, nobody's going there with flip-flops. Now, Mr. Jerry Brown, you see him, he'll wear a suit, he'll wear shoes, and Mr. Trump, President Trump, would do the same thing. No one's wearing flip-flops. Things are just... So, I said, I thought what it means to say for Torah and why we revere it. You know, obviously, a lot of that was just, I was trying to give her context for herself as well. David, who is a lover of Torah Shein Kamo, a person rabbi, but he calls Divrei Torah Zmiris, songs. It's a little bit lack of reverence for Torah. So David, if you should call Divrei Torah Zmiris, Nenish Shenech Shel Bedavar Uza, that Uza dies. Again, I'm not going to go through all, there's a lot of stories in the Torah over here bringing down. As they're moving the Aron, they're going to move it into Yerushalayim. He dies. Then it's Arba Vasimcha, so the whole party got ruined. Can you imagine, God forbid, you're not going to save a Torah and somebody has a heart attack and dies? Like, you know, it would ruin the whole event. It's a tragic, you know, Simcha turns into, you know, it ruins the whole thing. So David calls Torah, it means there was a lack of reverence for Torah. Again, these are great people, but when you're David HaMelech, if, you know, I'm serious. If a rabbi, if a parent or a teacher, let's not pick on rabbis. Rabbis are good. parents and teachers. I'm also a parent and I'm also a teacher. So, and also because then you think it's a rabbi. If you're a parent or a teacher, what you tell the kids and how you classify things, it has tremendous ramifications. Right? It's, you know, the way the ambiance that you create, the words that you use, you know. And the same thing was certainly with a rabbi or a leader. The language, the terminology, you know, if you're a teacher and you're exuberant about some things or negative about other things, you know, certainly in a society of reverence, it has transformed. If David, who's Melech Yisrael, if David, who's the person whose Mashiach is going to come from, has a little less reverence for Torah, brings down the whole Jewish nation, right? It's not... If he's calling Torah's songs... It's songs, and he meant it in a nice way, right? He meant it in a nice way, but it, at some level, it was flippant to say that, and therefore he's punished. Michal, who was David's wife, right? When they actually get the next time they get the Aron into the Yerushalayim, Fishochicha is David. Michal sees David dancing away, dancing with all his strength. B'masherak lechutz of the Aron. Now Michal came from a very, from who's Michal's father? Who?
Saul.
There we go, Shaul. You see, Mrs. Stolen, you just show that all Russian Jews, no excuses. You know, Shaul. It's no ifs, ands, and buts. Shaul. And so she came from royalty. She came from a regal family. So she thinks that royalty, you don't dance like that. You gotta be Zugabast. So you gotta be nishta. Right, you gotta be proper. Right? Could you imagine? I once heard this from a Rosh Yeshiva from Eretz Yisrael that, you know, obviously by a Jewish wedding, like, it's like you can never imagine such a thing. Like, anyone who's never been to a Jewish wedding has never seen real dancing, like real intense joy. So Rabbi Asher Zalig Rubinstein, he's one of his students who's getting married. His boy is a Baal Tshuva. And they're dancing at this wedding. And the father, who was irreligious, is a professor at UCLA, goes over to Rabbi Rubinstein and says, Rabbi, I've never seen anything like this. What drug are these boys on? And what are they taking? I mean, I've never seen anything like this. So Rabbi Rubinstein tells them, no, they're just happy. So I'm a scientist. I'm a professor. No one gets like this. What drug are they taking? I said, you may not realize... If you're not doing a good job, what are they on? You know, which narcotic, what are they taking? So no, they're, and it's going on like 2 times. So Balaam says, I'll tell you the truth. They're on a drug called Tyro. They're on Tyro. I mean, you know, a Yid, when a Jew is happy, we dance, right? So Simchas Torah, if you, I mean, you can't imagine, I'm, you know, if someone walks into a yeshiva like Lakewood or Mir or Amachad on Simchas Torah, right? I mean, no, you can't imagine. No, you can imagine, you know, imagine in the White House, like all the staff. Ah, yeah, like, you know, or anywhere. Like, could you imagine that anywhere in the world dancing like that, right? Like in such exuberance. Right? So David says, you know, this is how we celebrate. And she's no. You got to be calm. You got to be stuck. You know, once in a while I go to a shul, I feel like I'm in a museum. Like these, like, you know, very proper places and like emotionless. I'm not talking about non-observant. I'm talking about observant places. Emotionless. Usually they're not so observant, but they're emotionless. They're Orthodox, but emotionless. You go there, you feel like you're in a library. You know, if it's college, yay, shmei, rabba. Like, you know, basically there's no heart. David said, no, you put your heart into it. This is how you celebrate. So Michal criticized David, and there's a lot. The story gets a lot deeper, which is I'll pick Kabbalah. But Nana Shalohai of Lana Lemosa, she never has a child again until the day she dies. Because she, her criticism was a criticism of spirituality, and she's punished for that. And I'm just trying to give a similar story, but the main thing we're supposed to be getting is even the greatest people, there's accountability. Right? There is accountability. And one of the things that should motivate us, and that's what he's trying to, is realizing for the bad and certainly for the good, there is accountability. For all of us in this room, whether you ever come to share tonight or not, there's accountability. Chizkiah, when he got better, the Shaharis El Sari Melech Bavel, as based in the Chosa, he showed all the ministers of Bavel, all of the Beis HaMikdash, they came to see the Beis HaMikdash. Actually, it's all this tremendous miracle. He shows it all to all of them. Nigzal Banav, it was decreed on his descendants that they would be servants to Melch Bavol to Nebuchadnezzar. V'rabim ke'elamo, there are many other stories like this, of great examples. V'perak ha'kol chayavim, in Meseches Chagiga, Perak Kolchem, it says, Rabbi Yochanan kaved mata ha'ikra havi bechi, right? Ke'ravti aleicha mishol yisa eimar, right? So the pasuk says, "I'll draw to for judgment. I will be a swift witness." Right? It says, "Eved sheshkulim olav kalas korus to kana yishol." Is there? We're judged on such small things. So like the Gemara there, I'll tell you, the Gemara says that if a person does something disgusting, and today we'd say you pick your nose, right? You pick your nose in public. What happens? Does anyone enjoy watching people pick their nose? What happens? Well, you get revolted. All girls and most men get revolted, right? Right? But you get revolted. So you made another person uncomfortable, right? You spit on the ground, right? You made another person uncomfortable, right? You did something which is considered disgusting. We actually, some vulgar, in my mind, person around the neighborhood has been letting his dog defecate and doesn't clean up after himself. Like literally, it's like an obstacle course for the past few days. I don't know who this person is. Right? So what is that person doing? Does the Torah say, don't let your dog do that? Is there any mitzvah Torah? Don't put your finger in your nose. Is there a mitzvah Torah? Don't spit phlegm in front of people. No, it's not anywhere there. But all of that is making people sick, grossed out, sickened. Right? And that's wrong. So and what the Gemara says that you're judged on that. So, and by the way, that applies to your spouses, you know, not just people on the street. You know, it applies to your family also. It's not like, you know, you can belch in front of your you know, any of this stuff. So you even said, here's this, right? I should really give this to the men. I should, you know, make sure that they hear this, right? You know, when Yerucham hears this, he says, wow, look how serious judgment is. What is that? But you know what? I remember my friend who has a whole organization on the University of Pennsylvania campuses, Penn, Bryn Mawr, Drexel, Temple, to do Jewish outreach. So he was once telling somebody, Judaism has even like halachas, how we cut our nails, what we do. Like, literally, there's nothing. There's no act in this world that you can't do godly, right? You know, most religions have either, you know, Islam has multiple acts, Christianity has very few acts. It's just a belief system largely. In many of the other religions have very, there's really a minor amount where it impacts you. But Judaism, everything we do at some level is a plus or a minus. And there's a way to connect to Hashem in everything we do. If a Jew is at a high level, they can be connected 24/7, plugged into Hashem. Right? Everything we do. But there's also an accountability. Rabbi Yochanan said, whoa, this is serious stuff. Right? This is what we do. We need to be conscientious that everything we're doing is important. Right? Of course, there's that we're not going to compare serious deeds versus minor deeds. HaKadosh Baruch Hu rewards and punishes according to our measure for measure. Again, he's focused on punishment today, but everything is even more so, and I'll say that later on, as far as the reward. But the Indian is as follows. Le'inyan mishkal ha'maisim, according to when we weigh our deeds, kach oilas bekaf ha'kalas kachmurts, just like big deeds are important, small deeds are important. Right? Big deeds are important. Small deeds are important, right? Like the big things are important. Small things are important. Now, they're not weighed at the same scale, but they're important. You got to take it seriously, right? The big deeds and small deeds are both important. Just because you do a lot of great things doesn't take away the small things, right? Let's imagine one thing. Let's say you have a great girlfriend. She helps you. She's kind to you. She's nice to you. Whenever you need a friend, she's there for you, right? A million things she does, right? For 25 years. The other day, she spilled her coffee on you, all over your blouse, and she doesn't apologize. For 25 years, does that take away the 25 years? No, 25 years is still all there. But you gotta apologize, right? Let's say she bumped you on purpose or whatever. She said a cruel state. This is perfect. Says a cruel statement to you. By the way, I'm gonna say this. Anything that we're talking about, I can't. I continue to get these type of cases come my way. I cannot say strongly enough how little appreciation. I don't say this to people in my room or at lunch. That people have parents who give them years of love and chesed, and paying for their doctors and schools, and take, you know, and the parents has one comment, and the kids like, whoa, cut them off, or they hate them, or they're the worst, I mean, or some variation of that. Happens in marriage also. The husband or the wife, the great, bam, 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 great, 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 one bad line, one dumb error, one mistake. They're the worst. It's like, well, you know, it boggles the mind. It boggles the mind. Actually, I had a rabbi. I was at a rabbi's conference. I was listening to these people. And one rabbi said he did a family chesed. Then they didn't like what he did. This family wants to destroy him now in his community. Wants to destroy him. Like, what happened to all the good things the person did, right? Because the Yetzer Hara works that way. It can blind us to all the good. And you just focus on that one bad. Or even whether it's purposeful or not, it's going to never happen. Hashem doesn't work that way. 25 years ago, you're going to be rewarded. But if you bump someone, you spill coffee, or you make that one line, you got to fix it up also. There's accountability, right? Right? Everything is important. Nothing. It's not, you know, everything is important. You can't say, you know, I davened well for the past 20 weeks, so today, I won't go to, you know, a guy comes to me this morning. That didn't happen. Imagine the following day. A guy comes to me tomorrow morning. I'm not putting on tefillin today. So why not? So I'm 48 years old. I put on for 35 years straight. I'm not putting on tefillin today. You know? Well, yeah, it doesn't work that way. You know? Hey, imagine, you know, I'm going to pick on somebody over here. Mr. Bianker. Yeah. By the way, I get calls about your sons all the time. And I always say
that. You make me happy when you say that.
That's true.
I can sleep.
It's true. And I always say how you and your husband are an example of a happy marriage. Really, I always say that.
Thank you.
How many years are you married?
34
years. You have such good, such good care for one each other. And it's true. I always say that.
Thank you.
Let me ask you a question. Married for 34 years? Could you take a week off and not be nice to Leon?
Oh my gosh.
30 years, for a week, you know.
You know what? I'm so bad. You know why?
Don't do that. You're helping him. No, you're his mashkicha. That's good for him. We're married for 34 years. This week, tomorrow I'll be mean to you. A guy tells me he won't put on his phone tomorrow? We're crazy. Out of your mind? It's like I'm have a day off. Like, what his name is? Dennis Bueller? I'm saying, what in the world is that?
You actually got right.
See?
Almost.
All right. What did I hit? See, if you read the papers, you can learn a lot of stuff. Just listen to me. You don't have to watch. You don't have to hear sports. I can tell you everything you need to know. Right? There's a day off. Right? There's accountability for everything. There's accountability. It's not because I did this, I don't have to do this. No, of course, there's reality. Right? And some things are serious and some things are light, but there's everything is important. Right? It's not like the Torah says, wear tzitzis, but I wore tefillin and I daven, so I have to wear tzitzis. It doesn't go that way. Right? The mitzvahs are serious. Being nice is serious. You have a great day, you daven, you learned, and then let's go back to this Gemara Chagiga. You spit in front of someone's face, you gross somebody out. You're accountable for spitting in front of somebody and making them sickened. It's not nice to make people grossed out. It's not okay. Right? There's an accountability. But the takeaway your tefillah or your tefillin or your mitzvah, no, it doesn't. But there's accountability for that act. God doesn't close his eyes to anything. There is accountability. It's just like the serious things he takes seriously, so do the small things. Everything is with, I know this sounds very dreary to Americans who like everything to be la-la, with exacting scrutiny. Right? God looks at everything for the good. We're rewarded tremendously. You know, you came tonight, you should feel great. I don't say it's because of this class. I mean, you're learning Torah on a Wednesday night. Really, unbelievable. You could be sleeping, you could be doing a million things. Unbelievable. Listen, I got back. You come to this class, you can learn about entertainment, right? Whatever. You can also learn which airport to fly into. I've come back from Dallas Monday night, never flying to SFO. I say this to myself every time, why do I fly into that airport? But wanted to find it to SFO because I needed that to be in Dallas until a certain time, and the flight worked out better. So of course there's a rainstorm, and SFO could take like one plane every half hour. The minute that happens, like, you know, San Jose, they're coming in every 5 minutes. SFO is like, so my flight gets like 2.5 hours. I get home. I tell myself it was like 2 something in the morning. I'd be up for 6:30 chakras. Not, you know. So I will tell you, I even with a good coffee, my head was a little bit woo, you know, and I had stuff like very little the night before also for a reason. So, you know, at some level, you know, but at some level I thought, wow, I didn't choose to stay up till 2:30 in the morning. that was divinely ordained, or we can blame an SFO, you know, but. So for the good, I try to push myself. Oh, God will take that all into account, you know. But it doesn't mean I can say, oh, I came to 2:30 in the morning. I have a day off from davening, or if I'm at davening, I'm tired. What does God want? I won't push myself. I can tell you I've had better davenings. That's for sure, you know. But it didn't excuse me from pushing myself. Right? You got to push yourself. You know, you may be tired, you may be whatever. You got to push yourself. Right? God's gonna look. God, I We'll look at my davening on Tuesday morning when I was going on 4 hours of sleep, or less. I got less than 4 hours. I was in shul at 6:30. It's like, whoa, I don't remember that. It's not good. Right? Less than 4 hours of sleep. And it, just like Hashem, we'll look at my davening on Yom Kippur. Nothing less. And all of us, by the way. Now, Yom Kippur may be weighted more, but that analysis That morning's davening is just like Hashem looks at Yom Kippur. He's going to look at that davening. And just like Hashem will look how we acted to our husbands on our wedding nights. You, not me, right? He'll look at us how we tonight, right? It's not a joke. You know, were you nice? Did you smile? Friendly? Did you put up lipstick? I'm not, you don't have to put lipstick, but it's not a bad idea, by the way. Right? That's not a bad idea. If your husband likes it, it's not a bad idea. Right? I'm serious. I'm not joking. If he likes, just like and just vice versa. It goes all this. That's the point. We get, I'm tired. Maybe you're tired and you don't need to, but you gotta weigh this out. It's like everything is important, right? It's not like, you know, we look, and let's go back to certain ways. Like the religions of the world, which are patently false and largely dumb, they have this like reality of like religious service. So they decompartmentalize, you know, service. And by the way, the Greeks looked at us, you know, the famous story of Aristotle. I'm a different Aristotle, you know, I'm teaching them in real life. Like, that's how they live. Like, you can decompartmentalize in the work you offer to this, or, you know, or a lot of things are not religious expressions, they're just religious beliefs. Like, you know, there is no religion where it makes a difference if you smile when you see somebody or not. There's no concept, by the way. I can tell you, as somebody who's pretty well versed in comparative religion, it doesn't exist. By us, that's a big difference. When you see someone, you give them a warm hug or a cold hug. Shalom aleichem. We make a bracha, you say, Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu, or Baruch atah Hashem. Or Baruch atah. That's all a big difference. And that bracha you just made is going to be judged at some level for eternity. Now, it's not the only thing. There's a million other things we judge with. But that bracha, for eternity. When you say to a person, you know, one of the things I don't like texting is I think it's such bad midas. I'm not judging people who text. I think, you know, but for myself, and if you're going to text, you know, I look what the people say, and for, I mean, I don't get it. How do you talk to people that way? Parents? I'm scared to, you know, if it would be a rabbi. I mean, seriously, I would have email my, text my rabbi, you know, picture. Kosher? Like, whatever, you know, or you know, what's up? I don't know what they're doing, you know. Why is texting also, by the way? Your person's highly text. You know, were you nice? Were you not nice? Was it curt? You know, to me also, there's too much vagueness. Like, you know, even emails. Like, if I ever have miscommunication, it's over emails. It's like always, emails are strong. Like, you know, either way, you could easily be misinterpreted. It's very imperfect. Things make a difference. Things are important in life. It makes a difference. So God looks at everything with scrutiny. It's not just the big things. It's not like, you know, I you know, like this guy, rabbi, I show up at the Seder, like, whoa, like, okay, what about you? Well, you ate your pig today. What about that, right? That's actually pretty big, by the way. But, you know, it's not just the big things. You know, it's everything. Ladon klachon, and God, again, he's focusing on punishment, so he's, ulahana shall punish according to what did you do? Huma sha'amar shalom ha'amalach, amen. This is what he says in Kohelis. For Hashem will judge every deed, even the hidden things. Just doesn't allow any small good deed to be forgotten. If you put in a nickel in the tzedakah box today, you will be eternally rewarded for that nickel. If you put in $50, you'll be more rewarded, right? If you said Shmona Esrei today, you did a good deed, you gave somebody a ride, you know, you got a lot of chesed. You're like, you are the chauffeur of chauffeurs, you know. It's,
I was the alternate to be at the airport at 2:30 in the morning to pick you up.
And my wife said you said yes.
I said yes.
Right. So I wasn't. It was. I get picked up at 2:30. I get back. But
your flight was due in at 10. People need to understand.
I have no problem. Yeah. My point is. But she's taken me to the airport many times, and many other people, right? Those chesedim are there forever. They're, you know, you think, well, it's a ride. It's a ride. You know, somebody offers you a ride, gives you a ride home after Havdalah of Motzei Shabbos. No, it's all right. We forget about it. Hashem doesn't forget about that. That ride's there for eternity. Right? You pat somebody in the back. You know, Arthur Milrod, Ron Milrod, when he's walking me back on Shabbos, he's going, you know, he was eating someone else up in my direction. He's like, Rabbi Levine, I was listening to what you said. It's unbelievable how, you know, our actions have eternal realities. Unbelievable, like, you know, these great sages and how this happened. I told him that Reuven Elbaz story. He was like so flabbergasted about the Robertson Cook. He's just the way I spoke on Shabbos. So I told him the following thing. I said, I once heard the story a few years ago. A guy from the Panovich Yeshiva gets an invitation to he has no idea who this person is. He's invited to a wedding. He has no idea who's in the wedding. And it says on the invitation, I really would love if you come to my wedding. It would mean the world to me. So he goes to the wedding. He gets to the wedding, and the chassan comes over to him, gives him a hug and a kiss. He says, I'm getting married because of you. I'm getting married because of you. Can't believe it. Who is, you know, I'm getting married because of you. So he says, no, I can't believe this. So he says, I don't know who you are, by the way. Can you tell me how? So he says, you don't realize. Like 7 years ago, I was in yeshiva. Right? And I was looking around yeshiva. I was so depressed that I said, I'm going to kill myself. I was literally at the point of suicide. And one day, I said to myself, that's it. I'm going to... And you walked by me today. That day, I was going to kill myself. You patted me in the back. He says, how you doing, buddy? How you doing? You're going to have a great day today. And he walked on. And when I heard that, I said, hey, somebody cares about me. I have something to live for. And I pushed myself, and things worked out, and I got happier again. And then I mean, it's because of you. Imagine this guy would have never, you know, it's because of you. But we've probably done that a million times. You have no idea. You know, everyone needs a little, you know, you give a smile, a call, hello, thank you, a blessing, we make a bracha, davening, tznius. Oh my goodness, are you going, I'm sorry, this flu. The tznius in this world, these goyim have no, I mean, it's unfortunately a few Jews also. You walk around provocative, you don't think there's a judgment on that? Whoa, is there a judgment on that? You know, where a person wears tight clothes, whoa, is there a judgment on that for ladies? You, a man who's married or not married, stares at you, and listen, men are weak creatures. Fact. Men are weak creatures. And a woman is not liable if a man is a weak creature. But she is liable if she provokes that. Okay? If she flaunts stuff to do it. Or, let's say, she wants to be comfortable. And they're fine, decent people, not looking to provoke. But their idea of comfortability, they forget about that, you know, just like, you know, it's comfortable to spit your phlegm out and to, you know, put your finger in your nose and a million other things. It doesn't make it okay, right? Especially here where it actually has really negative things. Right? There's realities. And you know what? That also will go on for a long time. I'll finish with one story about Dallas, which is a famous story. This story, actually, because I was in that neighborhood for dinner. So there's a shul in Dallas, the oldest shul in Dallas, Orthodox, built shul. It's a Roden shul. How did this shul get built? A guy, the Roden, who was in Dallas, has a small shul. One day, a guy comes into him and starts giving him donations. Not from God. He gives him donations and donations and donations. Why did he start giving him donations? Right? And in fact, he gave him the donation that he got the building from. And then this guy died a few years later. This is what he wrote and said at his funeral. He asked the guy, why are you giving all this money? He said that he went to the Kosel. It's a Reform shul. And he saw there it was an Orthodox Jew davening like he never saw someone pray before his whole life. And he was so inspired by watching this person daven. So when he got back to Dallas, he said, he described this Orthodox Jew. He says, where do I find these kind of Jews? Where do I find these kind of Jews? So they pointed to Rabbi Roden Shul. And he said, I want to support these kind of Jews. And there's a call in Dallas. And around that neighborhood, there's a shul in Dallas, a yeshiva in Dallas, right? All around this neighborhood, all started because of this guy. So imagine this. Rabbi Groen said this at our first dinner. He said, imagine what's going to be. This Jew is Orthodox Jew. Okay? Never heard of Dallas. He's going to get to Shemayim. And he's going to have this huge amount of mitzvahs. Tremendous amount of mitzvahs. And they're going to say to him, he's going to say, you're a billionaire. You're a spiritual billionaire. He says, why am I spiritual billionaire? You built Dallas. He says, Voss is Dallas. What's Dallas? He never even heard of Dallas. What in the world is Dallas? Right? Because he was just diving in the Kaisel. He was diving. He never heard of Dallas.
Work another way, too.
He
could do something bad.
Woo! That's true. You could be on a bus and scream at somebody, and a person hates Judaism after that, and they can try to destroy it. Yeah, that's true. It goes both ways, but it makes a difference. Our acts make a difference. Sometimes we see it, sometimes we don't. We'll just finish the paragraph. Yaniach b'loshav God for the good and the bad. Small, big. People are scrutiny. Well, the haitzi b'leiv haraitzi l'spatus. And then why is this important, says Ram Chal? This reminds us to disabuse those who delude themselves into thinking shlo yala adam baruch hu b'dinav dvar makam, that God doesn't care about the small things. I do the big things, I'm okay. How I do things, what I do, it doesn't really make a difference. V'liku chashmer love, and this doesn't really come into the picture. Elaklalahu. Here's a general principle. Ka'omer kosh baruch hu v'atra. That means that God is an easy grader. God doesn't really care. He skips some of the small things. Yivatzu me'ohu. He's going to overlook his inner. You're going to hurt yourself. It's not true. V'chan amru im orim l'cha yitzhar. The yitzhar says, you sin. God's forgiving. What is he? No, God loves me. I love God. God's okay. It's okay. Chatzah. Baruch hu meichel. God's... Al Tishmalo, don't listen, because everything we do, again, Hashem will look at all of us. Right? Hashem will look at all of us and He'll judge us according to who we are and our abilities and our capacities. But we have to know, right, that everything we do is important. And if you want to be motivated to use our lives correctly, this is why you should do jumping jacks. This was a very great class. I mean, it sounds a little strong, but you realize this is empowering, because this is a reality whether you come to the class. It's not like if you didn't come here, it would change. No, this is important to know. Everything we do is all important. And to the extent that we know that, and we utilize that, we can be motivated to do things better, and better quantitatively, qualitatively, and that will not only improve our world to come, but quite frankly, there's nothing more mindful, nothing more enjoyable, and nothing more empowering than that. Okay, thank you.